Google Goggles is officially dead, and more coming up on today's episode of the Latest in Tech News Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Latest in Tech News Podcast. I am your host, Taylor Merrick. This is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. If you're new here, welcome. Feel free to chat with us during the live show. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Yes, this is being recorded live over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. If you're listening to the podcast version, welcome, but you're a day late and a dollar short, and you're also a day behind on the news. So, did you know that you can get this show on your mobile app? Let's just download the Mixer app, type in Tech News Gadget, hit that follow button, and anytime we go live, you'll be notified, and then you can watch it on the go, and then you don't have an excuse. But if you are listening to the podcast, hey, be sure to leave us a review. That would be greatly appreciated. Also, if you have any questions, thoughts, rants, suggestions at any time before, during, after the show, we are on Twitter at Tech News Gadget. And if you want to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/technewsgadget. Insiders, as we like to call our patrons, get exclusive access to our entire video archives of past show. For those of you live wondering where are your past streams, they're all there in the video archives over on Patreon. You also get an exclusive insiders-only podcast as well as an Octavius plush. And he's not too happy about that either because he's currently throwing a fit. For those of you who don't know, Octavius is my pet octopus. When he's happy, he's blue. When he's mad or sad, he's purple. Don't judge. Just be that as it may. That's my pet octopus for you. Anyways, more details can be found at patreon.com/technewsgadget. Moving on. Today is August 17th, 2018, and we're going to take a quick look back in history. On this day in 1982, The Visitors by ABBA becomes the world's first commercial music compact disc. CD, manufactured and in Germany by PolyGram Records, which was a subsidiary of Royal Philips Electronics. Philips and Sony co-developed the CD standard, which was designed to be the successor to the phonograph record. By the time the CD went on sale in November of that year, about 150 titles had been produced. Also on this day in history, 2006, Dell decided to add AMD processors into their Dimension desktops, and later into the year, they decided to start installing it into their servers. On that same day, they announced that after an internal investigation into its accounting practices, Dell would restate and reduce earnings from 2003 to quarter one of 2007. A total amount of between $50 million and $150 million was deducted, which roughly equated to 2 cents. 7 cents per share. So that's all in tech history for today. Moving on, did you know that Amazon's name was chosen to come early in alphabetical order? Amazon is a rarity, a modern-day web giant whose origins lie in the earliest days of the commercial internet, a history that still marks it. Take its name, for instance. Jeff Bezos originally wanted to call it Kadabra, short for Abracadabra, to express how magical the experience of buying books from them would be. But when the lawyers he was working with to incorporate the company kept mishearing the name as Cadaver, he realized he kind of needed to change it. It was 1995, and the number one way most people navigated around the web back then with Yahoo's directory was listed names in alphabetical order. Amazon's A gave it a leg up. Also, did you know that the computer mouse was invented at least three times? Starting in 1968, Douglas Engelbart gave what has become known as the mother of all demos, a demonstration of the revolutionary online system, a computer with a GUI that set the tone for UIs as we know them today. Engelbart's demonstration included a mouse, which he had developed as one of its primary input tools. But mouse-like input devices were developed at least twice in earlier years by Tom Cranston and Fred Longstaff, working for Canada's for Auntie Packard in 1952 and by Ralph Benjamin working for the UK Navy in the early 1960s. Both earlier efforts used rubberized trackballs rather than the bulky wheels of Engelbart's device, and both were military projects that ended up classified, well, which explains why they were dead ends. Now we don't even have any of that. It's just optical sensor. That's what mouse is now. They use no trackballs. Did you know that your data can be corrupted by high-energy particles from outer space? Yes, semiconductor electronics have always been prone to soft errors, instances where a specific data bit or signal is incorrect, but the problem doesn't seem to arise from an inherent defect with the system itself. After eliminating many possible causes, researchers finally determined that some of these errors are the result of cosmic rays, which are high-energy particles that strike Earth from outer space and occasionally switch bits in the chips in your computer. Possible solutions include keeping all your high-tech equipment in an underground cave, oh boy, or rebooting. Does that mean kicking it out the door with a rubber boot? I don't know. Remains to be seen. Also, did you know that for more than half of its history, Nintendo only made playing cards? Out of all the major console manufacturers, Nintendo has the longest corporate history. It was founded in 1889, very early in Japan's modernization. However, for 67 years, it had one product, playing cards. In 1956, Hiroshi Yamaguchi, I said it right. If I didn't, oh well, I can't speak Japanese. I'm working on it. The founder's grandson visited the United States, saw how small the world's biggest playing card company was, and decided to diversify. After several false starts, the company got into electronics. At least the path from card games to video games is kind of intuitive. Erstwhile Finnish cell phone giant Nokia started existence as a paper mill. Finally, did you know that video phones have been commercially available in the U.S. since the Nixon administration? Yes, just about every vision of the future for the past 100 years has prominently featured video chat, but the prospect has generally been met with tepid enthusiasm at best. The future was here in 1970 when AT&T rolled out the commercially available picture phone product. Ma Bell proudly assumed there would be hundreds of thousands of video phones installed across the U.S. in 5 years, but by 1975, there were only a few hundred. Cost of no doubt had a lot to do with it. Service was $160 a month, which was the equivalent of $947 in 2015 dollars, and that bought you only 30 minutes of video chat. Now we have something called Skype, and FaceTime, and a bunch of other stuff that, well, just comes standard with your phone. So, that wraps up all the Did You Know tech facts and history. Let's get into the trending tech articles of today, shall we? First up, China AI unicorn SenseTime launches an automatic touch-up tool for self-conscious live streamers. The picture here is actually kind of hilarious. It goes along with it. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, or so the saying goes. Some people prefer tall and slender, while others prefer short and cuddly. Whatever your preference, in today's image-conscious social media world, people generally want to look the best they can, and that's why SenseTime, the world's most highly valued artificial intelligence startup, is offering a filter for smartphone cameras and live streaming apps that can automatically touch you up. Powered by AI-backed technology, the filter identifies different parts of a user's body and face and touches them up automatically to enhance their look without distorting the background. The feature marks a major step up from existing products in the market that allow users to mainly beautify still pictures of faces and selfies, according to SenseTime. More of a convenience feature. For example, imagine you feel like live streaming at 10 p.m. but want to skip putting on makeup just for that, said the vice president of Internet and Adverts at a product launch held in Beijing on Wednesday. The vice president said the company will seek to embed the touch-up function into the live streaming apps of major players via T-Pain partnerships. Founded at the Hong Kong Science Park in 2014, SenseTime specializes in facial recognition and computer vision and has positioned itself as a platform company for AI technologies. Known for providing AI-powered civilian software for China's police, SenseTime that it achieved profitability last year on the back of selling AI-powered applications for smart cities, surveillance, smartphones, internet entertainment, finance, retail, and other industries. So, if y'all want to look good while live streaming, well, now there's an app for that. Moving on, why you shouldn't bring your mobile device shopping. If you tend to walk around with your nose in your cell phone, you may be at risk for more than a mere stumble or collision. A recent published study in the Journal of Marketing shows that mobile use can also distract consumers when they are out shopping. Busy multitaskers who talk, surf, or text while walking around the store and picking out goods often end up with more items at the register. Then you spend more than you'd plan to. This result is contrary to previous research, which has shown that consumers who use their mobile devices for relevant tasks, like checking prices, make fewer impulse purchases. However, other studies suggest that people who check the news or social media when shopping purchase more than they intend to. That is, up to now, we haven't known what net effect mobile use really has on people's shopping trips. This question led researchers at the Stockholm School of Economics and University of Tennessee to design two studies involving more than 400 consumers at six grocery stores. Researchers monitored the participants on their way through the store in multiple ways. They used video, had customers wear eye-tracking glasses that capture where they directed their gaze, and checked receipts afterwards. This enabled researchers to check which consumers had used their mobile phones while shopping and how much they purchased and how long they spent in the store. The results of both studies were clear. The analysis revealed that cell phone usage noticeably increased purchases. Customers' ability to concentrate on the main task, which was selecting the items they needed, was impaired when they simultaneously used their phone, according to researchers. Participants who were distracted by cell phone use slowed down or stopped temporarily on their way through the store. This made them more aware of goods and signs on the shelves that they wouldn't have otherwise noticed, which led to more impulse purchases. Customers who use their cell phones were also more likely to deviate from the fastest route through the store to get their planned purchases. They also spent more time shopping, making them inclined to buy more. The amount of time they spent on their mobile device didn't matter. Although consumers use their devices for just under a minute on average, they lost their focus on groceries more often than shoppers who didn't use their phones at all. All is to say, if it's at all possible and you're looking to save money, leave your cell phone at home or turned off in your pocket until you have completed your shopping journeys. The rest of this article will actually be linked up on the show notes for today's episode of the Latest in Tech News podcast, which you can find by heading on over to technewsgadget.net. So, moving on to the next article, Google finally updates location history language after tracking backlash. So in case you're wondering, 4 days after admitting that it continues to track users even after location history tracking has been disabled, Google has updated its website to more accurately reflect the nature of its location policy. This setting does not affect other location services on your device, like Google Location Services and Find My Device. The help page now reads, some location data may be saved as part of your activity on other services like search and maps. When you turn off location history for your Google account, it's off for all devices associated with that Google account. The update was noted by the Associated Press, which first brought the tracking issue to light earlier this week in a report. Google initially denied its own inaccurate reporting, but later backtracked, adding that it had added clarifying language. The company told TechCrunch earlier this week, location history is a Google product that is entirely opt-in, and users have the controls to edit, delete, or turn it off at any time. As the story notes, we make sure location history users know that when they disable the product, we continue to use location to improve the Google experience when they do things like perform a Google search or use Google for driving directions. Moving on, Google Goggles is officially dead in the stories that are Google today. Google now signed Goggles. Oh, sweet. I can read. I think I need goggles. They signed a death warrant the moment it launched Lens, and now it looks like the tech giant is ready to bid farewell to its old image recognition app. As Android Police has noted, the only thing you'll see when you fire up the Goggles app is a note that says it's going away. If you have a phone that's compatible with the standalone Google Lens app, the note will come up with a button that leads straight to Lens's download page. But if your phone isn't, Then the memo mentions that Lens's features are available in Google Photos, and a download button is replaced with one that opens the Photos application. Like Google Lens, goggles allowed you to look up real-world objects on the internet using the phone's camera. You can think of it as an early iteration of Lens, which is much smarter, better at recognizing objects, and has more features. If you still have the old goggles app, go ahead and launch it for the last time before deleting it from your device. In other news, the new $1,200 MacBook refreshed iPad Pro models could be announced during Apple's September event. So Apple will launch a refreshed entry-level MacBook next month, according to a report, with an updated model claimed it will be revealed during the company's September event alongside new iPhones and other product announcements. The new MacBook will use Intel's Kaby Lake processor. Industry sources reportedly advise DigiTimes. Sources also expect the refreshed notebook to start from around $1,200 for the base model, but did not advise on any potential specification changes aside from the processor. Claimed to be originally scheduled for a refresh in the fourth quarter of 2017, the MacBook update was apparently delayed due to Intel having issues with producing processors under a 10-nanometer process. After Intel confirmed it would wait until 2019 before mass-producing 10-nanometer processors, Apple allegedly reworked the MacBook's redesign to use the 14-nanometer Kaby Lake architecture rather than put off the refresh for another year. The report buoys rumors that Apple will be reviving its inexpensive MacBook lineup and follows a similar report from earlier this month, suggesting Apple partner Quanta would see shipments hit 10 million units in a December quarter, in part because of the new MacBooks. According to today's report, the MacBooks in question are anticipated to have a shipping volume of around 8 million units by the end of the year. While Apple's September event is largely expected to include three new iPhones, including 5.8-inch and 6.5-inch OLED models and a cheaper 6.1-inch LCD version with Apple Pencil support, the report also suggests other hardware that could make an appearance during the presentation. Apple will apparently detail the launch schedule of AirPower, Apple's wireless charging mat capable of providing power to multiple devices at the same time, which is touted in the report to cost around $161 to $193. There may also be the appearance of new iPad Pro models, which the report suggests a refreshed 12.9-inch model, as well as an 11-inch version, the latter of which may replace the existing 10.5-inch variant. iPad Pros are speculated to ship with a new 18-watt power adapter using USB Type-C, which will help speed up charging of connected devices. If you're interested in the MacBook, well, might be coming. Might be coming. We'll see. Moving on, PUBG Mobile reaches 100 million downloads. While Fortnite is showing its own level of dominance in the game industry on mobile devices, PUBG Mobile isn't doing too shabby at all. In fact, it's recently come across a nice little record of its own. According to comicbook.com, PUBG, in collaboration with Tencent, has announced that the mobile battle royale shooter has reached 100 million downloads since its initial release in March. That's a worldwide number, although audiences for China, Japan, and Korea weren't included in the report for some reason. The company has also reported that the game has managed to reach 14 million daily active users since its release, less than 4 months after it initially arrived earlier this year. During the first week of its release, PUBG Mobile found instant success, becoming the most downloaded mobile game in over 100 different countries. It's unknown just where it ranks when it comes to more current download numbers, but it's continuing to do well. PUBG also recently announced a player well-known tournament to entice fans to watch popular streamers in action with the mobile game, leading up to an even bigger championship that will be held sometime later in the year. So clearly, PUBG and Tencent want to push the game to even further height. But for now, the publisher's general manager, Vincent Wang, is pleased with the results. We want to thank our committed development team at Lightspeed and Quantum Studios, and especially thank the devoted players around the world that continue to inspire us with their passion and dedication. We will continue to set the bar for mobile gaming and look to deliver even more great content to our players later this year. The company has not only The company has seen to not only a strong concurrent base of players, but also strong revenues, as the game has managed to reach 30 million by the end of July. Again, that's behind Fortnite, but second place isn't such a bad place to be this time around. You can play PUBG Mobile now for iOS and Google Play. If you prefer, it's also available for PC and Xbox One, though the two aren't cross-compatible to players. At least, not yet. And finally in the news today, Nintendo Switch Online service, is it worth it? Nintendo Switch Online is Nintendo's upcoming subscription-based service that offers four major features that non-subscribers won't have access to. Depending on what you do with your Switch, it's either going to be the best $20 per year or $40 per year for a family plan you'll spend, or not worth a dime. Do you get to play multiplayer online games? Well, probably the most important feature of the Nintendo Switch Online subscription service is online access. Right now, you're able to take advantage of this feature for free to play against other people around the globe in games like Super Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and Splatoon 2. However, once Nintendo Switch Online officially launches, you won't be able to play games online without a subscription. So if you're a multiplayer online gamer, the answer is clear. You'll want to put your money where your mouth is if you want to stay on top of the global leaderboards. If you subscribe to the Nintendo Switch Online, you'll get complete access to the companion app, also called the Nintendo Switch Online. Currently, Splatoon is the only game supported in the app, but it's designed to be a special app dedicated to helping you connect with other players so you can schedule game sessions, get exclusive gear, and chat in real time while you play. Of course, if you already use a different chat service like Discord, there are fewer reasons to use a Nintendo Switch Online app. That said, if you're using a chat service to play games with friends, well, you're probably playing online, which means you probably won't want to switch to Nintendo Switch Online. Without a Nintendo Switch Online subscription, there is no legitimate way to back up your game save data off of the Switch. That means all those hours and hours spent wandering the hills of Hyrule with Link or the many kingdoms that Mario explores in search of Princess Peach could be lost for all eternity if something should happen to your beloved hardware or software of your Nintendo Switch. I'm sure you've heard about firmware 5.0 triggering third-party docks to send Switches into a boot loop, essentially bricking the device. It's a shame Nintendo didn't offer game save data backups before. What the heck? With the Nintendo Switch Online subscription, you'll be able to back up your game save data in a cloud, which means it's protected if something should happen to your Switch. Another major feature of Nintendo Switch Online is access to Nintendo's classic game selection. So far, we know that the service will launch with 20 classic Mario Nintendo titles, including Super Mario Bros. 1 and 3, Legend of Zelda, and Donkey Kong. So far, they've only announced 10 titles, but for $20 per year or $1.67 a month, it seems as if we will be getting access to some top-tier classic Nintendo titles. If you're excited about being able to play a classic Nintendo game that'll probably be exclusive to subscribers, well, you're going to want to switch and join Nintendo Switch Online. So it seems to be very much of a back and forth here going on. Some people say it's worth it, some people it's not. It really depends on type of player you are and what you use the Switch for. So I guess it's really entirely up to you. If you're reading along in the live chat, hey, is this something that you're looking forward to or not really? Value your input. Also, if you're listening to this show later on, you could also send us your feedback. We are on Twitter at TechNewsGadget. Shoot us a message and we'll be sure to follow that up. So that is all of the tech news articles for today. And with that being said, if we missed anything that you wanted to make sure you heard about, words. You know, English is such a difficult language for me. It's the only language I speak, and I suck at it. I'm trying to get better, I am, but being a mailman sucks. It means I have to read numbers and letters and stuff. Anyways, so all I'm going to say is if you miss something that you wanted to hear about, hey, let us know in the live chat room. Let us know on Twitter, at TechNewsGadget. You could head on over to our website, let us know there. In either case, let us know. The reason we do this show is for you, our listeners, and we want to make sure that we're providing you with the best and greatest and latest information that matters to you when it comes to tech news, gadgets, and gaming. So, that will wrap up this episode of the Latest in Tech News podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. This show is a production of Tech News Gadget. For the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, head on over to technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, and I'll see you on the flip side.